couple of us here.
There we go.
Hi, guys. I just want to give you a heads up that I'm in transit. So I'm not going to be able probably to stay for the entire meeting, but I do want to be part of the voting. Dave or Kira, do we know what part of the agenda that is going to be? Is it at the beginning or is it at the end?
It's at the beginning, because unfortunately I have to leave early as well. So it'll be at the beginning.
Me too. Okay, sounds good. I'm on my phone, so. Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, Chip.
Hi.
No, long time no see.
Yeah, hi there. Hi, everybody.
Dave, you have the presentations, right, to be able to share eventually? Okay.
Did you get the revised slides I sent, or no?
Yeah, we have your slides. Yeah.
Great.
Dave will be, since I won't be here for it, Dave will be running the slide deck for you and then also for Bill and Thomas. You are coming second, so you're in it for the long haul, Chip. Hope you don't mind some council affairs business.
I think I can stand it.
Okay, good. Check out. Kira, do we know if anyone has said that they are not able to make this meeting? I know that David Gonzalez cannot.
Oh, okay. I have Matt Geltmaker as excused.
Okay. All right. So we're really just waiting for Bill, Ken, and Paul. Okay. Chuck, did David let you know about what's happening with him with this?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So he let me know after the agenda was put together. So
yeah.
Next month's agenda, we'll have a co-chair election. We'll see who will step up to do that to help you out. So you'll be solo, obviously, until then.
Yes.
What did I miss?
David Gonzalez can no longer make this particular meeting because of work stuff. And so Chuck will be flying solo. Yeah, Chuck will be flying solo until next month.
Awesome. It's not as fun for you, so he'll be fine. Chip, good to see you.
Yes. How are you?
I'm all right. Oh, I said Chip, not Chuck.
Oh, Chip, okay.
Chuck, I see you all the time.
I know, and everybody I know is getting COVID.
Yep. And I think actually Ken is dealing with some
medical
stuff. So if we have three people here out of five members, because Thomas is not a member, we have forum, so we can start whenever you'd like, Chuck.
Okay, then let's go ahead and start. We'll start with the introductions real quick. I'm Chuck Adams, the co-chair of this committee. Go ahead, Thomas.
Thomas Noble, they, them pronouns, government co-chair.
Irma, she may or may not be able to say hello.
Hi, everyone. It's Irma. I'm actually a co-chair as well for the council.
All right. Na?
Hi, everyone. I'm Nali, member with Marin County.
Who did I miss? Nobody. So go ahead, Dave. David, I'm sorry.
David Jordan, council staff.
There's Bill. Say hello, Bill.
He's connecting the audio.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Oh, there he is. Okay, now he's ready.
Okay, go ahead and say hello, Bill.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to go turn on some more light, so I'm not quite such a shadow here.
Okay. Who did I miss? Melania. There we go.
Melina.
I'm going to get my names wrong.
Melania,
hello.
I like it.
It's a good one.
I know.
I'm not close.
Melina Clark, council staff.
And then there's Mark.
And Kira as well. So Mark Molnar, council
staff. Oh, I missed Kira. Okay. All right, go ahead, Kira.
All right, Kira, council staff.
And Chip, you can say hello as well.
Hello, Chip Stepanich, getting to zero.
All right. So we have the minutes. Oh, we're reviewing the event agenda, yes.
So you'll see here we have a quick revisit of the, not quick, who knows, but it's on the agenda for 15 minutes of the future of this meeting as far as virtual versus in person. Then we have two presentations in the epidemics update and then the aging and PLWH update from getting to zero.
Is there any changes necessary? If not, then we'll approve that by consensus. And move on to the minutes from April 12th.
You'll see here all the pro forma. And then we had a presentation review from Judy Martin. And then we had that first discussion of future meetings.
Has anybody seen any changes? If not, we'll accept that by consensus also. Are there any announcements from anybody?
Yes, the council co-chairs have decided I was actually going to save the flag for the meeting, but hey, I'm already in it, pause in-person meetings for the next 2 months. There you go.
All right. Anything else? Anybody else? All right. If not, then is there any public comment? Guess not. So we're down to the future council meeting of council affairs meeting. We had voted to start meeting in person, but now it's I think it's time for a pause, at least 2 to 3 months. Should we set a time frame or is it better just to leave it open?
Well, I think in this situation it's a bit different. So there's a pause that's affecting all meetings, and then there's the actual future of this meeting. And so at the last, if I can frame it, if you wouldn't, can I
go
frame
ahead
it?
Go ahead.
So at the last committee meeting, the committee did determine by a 4-3 vote to keep this, to turn this committee back to in person. And since then, there has been discussion, and I actually feel like I did not do my own due diligence in reporting the conversation that had been occurring at steering and a little bit with co-chairs. That conversation being that in the future, in some ways, we wanted to see using both like lessons learned during the pandemic as far as how available people have been for Zoom meetings, for virtual meetings, as well as actual thoughts and feelings from different council members. And we really wanted to look at the idea of having at least one of our committees remain virtual so that we did have an option for folks who, for travel, is actually quite a challenge, whether that's from our county partners or from folks in the city who are service providers or for whatever reason. And it seemed like council affairs might be the ideal committee. Membership has already determined that we'll be back in person. Of course, there's a pause now, but we'll be back in person. Community engagement has decided to, for now, stay virtual. But my recollection of that conversation was it was definitely a for now, and that there was energy for that to eventually be back in person, which would leave this committee as potentially being the only real option for an ongoing virtual committee. My own perspective is that of the three, this would be the most ideal because this is a committee that has the most people coming in with presentations. And so all of our presenters are either government or service providers. And so it becomes actually easy for our service providers and government partners and presenters to be able to have a committee where they could do virtually. As Dave knows, sometimes the pushback has been coming from providers who just can't get over to a meeting. And so we will just have to review stuff for them and get it back. And so my own personal opinion as council support is that if there is one committee that's going to remain virtual, ideally it will be this one. Membership will have to interview people, and interviews can be virtual, but it's nice to have that in person. And like I said, the energy for community engagement seemed like the virtual was going to be temporary. So with that said, the discussion is back on the discussion and vote is actually back on the agenda because the co-chairs also had some discussion around this. And so that was my framing.
All right.
With that said, it's noted as a vote. So if someone does want to make a motion, now will be the time.
I'd like to have a little discussion first. Does anybody have any objections to this meeting staying virtual?
So is this discussion, Chuck?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just kind of, I think you're the only person other than Chuck that might have been here last time. Right? So I guess this apology is to you. I feel bad about the way that things went down last month, and I just should have been a little bit more thoughtful about the vote, and specifically just because I work in the building and it's not an effort for me to travel up and down a flight of stairs. And so I just wanted to put that out there. And that's part of why this is being revisited, just due to the fact that it kind of, it's a pretty critical vote. And I think some of the rationale that Mark kind of put on the table made me think as well with regards to this might be a meeting that would do better as a virtual space versus an actual in-person training. So I just want to publicly apologize for kind of muddling that up last month and finding ourselves in the situation. And I'll stop there before I continue to ramble.
Well, you can always throw that out as a motion. Is there any other discussion?
Oh, Irma, you were here last month too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
No, I wasn't present at the meeting, and I apologize for not being present, but because I'm on leave, I had already made a commitment not to, to the other meetings except the committee. But I understand that, my presence is necessary, and I wish I was present because I am one of those who actually support for the meeting to remain as remote.
Okay, so what's a good phrasing for the motion?
Keep council affairs virtual.
All right, I'll move to keep council affairs virtual for the time, for the near future. No, we'll just say keep the council affairs virtual.
You can always do another motion in the future to change it back. Yes, it's not exactly. Nothing except. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Second it, or third.
Okay, then we call a vote, right?
Yes. Since it's not involving money, you could basically just say, there was actually...
There's a couple people on the phone, it's hard to see a hand.
Yeah. Well, since we have some people on the iPhone, is it okay, Chuck, if I just call roll on this one?
Yes, might be. Yes.
All right. I'm sorry, who moved it? That was you, Chuck? Chuck, yes. We'll start with you.
Yes.
Irma?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Na?
Yes.
Bill? Sorry, you muted, Bill.
I would abstain, but I'll against my greater sense on this, I'll go yes, but it really is the will of the group. We'll leave either place.
All right, so motion passes. So this will remain virtual. And of course, just to underline, like in the future, this committee can always bring this back to the agenda.
Yes.
Okay. And with that, I actually have to leave the meeting. It was nice seeing you all, if briefly. Dave is now the host and should be able to share slides. Bye, everyone.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, but I'm also leaving the meeting. I'm on my way home from a medical appointment. But okay. I will see you guys soon. Take care.
Take care, Irma. Thanks for joining.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
Okay, Bill and Thomas, you can present to two of us. Yes, three of us. So go ahead.
Just a quick question. I don't know if there's any motions. Do we still have quorum, Dave?
We don't need it.
Well, only if we're voting on something. And Dave, I think you're muted.
Thank you. Sorry. No, I do not believe we have quorum, even with, I believe, just one, maybe two people out. But yeah, we're losing Irma. But again, we are not voting on anything. We can just move this forward as a recommendation to approve. But there's not really anything to vote on. We're just reviewing this. If there was anything that needed to be voted for some reason, although I'm not sure that these presentation reviews are noted as a vote. I don't have the agenda in front of me.
No, they're not.
Yeah, so it wouldn't really matter one way or the other. Quorum is kind of moot at this point. So whenever you're ready, let me know and I will screen share the ETE presentation.
You could screen share. You have a very impressive collection of speakers there, if that's not a faux background.
No, that is unfortunately actually my a portion of my shoe collection. It's a little embarrassing.
Of course. Can I ask a logistics question just for my own process education moving forward? So I thought once a meeting started,
that is true,
and people leave, the meeting is still viable.
That is true. If quorum is established early on, then it still continues even if people leave.
So theoretically, could we still vote on something if we had to vote on something due to the fact that people left?
You could. I think that, so if there was something that was like very time sensitive and we definitely needed to vote on it, we absolutely could vote on it. But oftentimes when we don't necessarily have a sort of effective representation from all quarters, we might choose to change that to a recommendation and let steering take it up. I don't see that happening in this meeting today, but no, that is just generally how we approach that.
And my knowledge moving forward of how these, you know, what the law is or our policies is really what I was asking. So thanks.
No, yep, you were correct.
All right, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, do you want to put it in presentation mode?
Yeah, let me see if this is, I'm just sharing this from my browser.
I could do it that way if you're not able to. It's just a little bigger for folks that may have smaller screens.
For whatever reason, it just wants to keep this sliding bar here on the side.
That's fine. Okay. Do you want to go up to the top slide?
Sure.
And we're not actually doing the presentation right now. We're just doing a run through of the slides, correct, David?
Okay. Yes, right. That is true.
All right, well, then you can go to the second slide there. So this is just an overall description of what the goals are for the epidemic on the right side, and then on the top left and at the bottom is the San Francisco goal. You can see we have made it syndemic with multiple conditions. Next slide. Here you have a definition of what syndemics are and why we think it's important to really look at a broader swath, including HIV. Next slide. This is kind of all the different ways that we get input to determine how to effectively reach the priority populations, which are based on disparities in health outcomes. Next slide. These are kind of the principles that were used to form the strategic plan and the larger report. Next slide. These are the communities of focus, and they represent a composite of both groups. And again, they are the basis of this funding is to get to virologic suppression of everyone living with HIV possible. And the focus is on communities that are having differential levels of success in getting to virologic suppression with the idea of being to eliminate all disparities. And so these are the populations that in our community have lower levels of virologic suppression. Next slide. This is on the care side, because we'll be presenting on both. So this shows you kind of the funding. At the top, it shows you kind of how the funding was structured. We are in phase one. It's a 10-year program. It started in March of 2020. We started at just under $1 million, and we've been going up each year. We're soon to be getting our award for the third year of funding. And then there's additional funding actually, which is coming through the Part C's, which you see that listed below. That's not managed by DPH, but it's an important part of the work we do. It's based in primary care sites, and it's really kind of focused on PrEP. Next slide, please. So here you have some more details about the funding. And we're showing you both care and prevention funding. And actually, I think this is the point where we transition over to you, Thomas. Yeah. Sorry, it's been a while since I've looked at these slides.
Yeah, no worries. I was just trying to familiarize myself with them. If we go to the next slide, that'd be great, Dave. So just a kind of an outline with the bigger picture with regards to the funds were kind of envisioned to coordinate local efforts with regards to getting to zero, ending the epidemic, the prevention funding that moves forward, and then the HRSA grants. And so this is a little bit of the structure of how we wanted to do that. So next slide. These are objectives that we kind of put forth. So part of the process as well with regards to looking at all of the HIV, Hep C, and STI efforts was where were the gaps kind of existing within our structure? And so we wanted to put forth various objectives with regards to filling those gaps. You can see, like, for example, PrEP was on there. Future, the funding cycles that were before this, we didn't really have PrEP kind of woven into things just due to the fact that it was kind of new and innovative at the time. So this kind of funding gave us an opportunity to do that. At the same time, the energy of de-siloing efforts was also something else we wanted to take on. So next slide. Some of the specific details with regards to the programming that we did fund with regards to these efforts to fill some of those gaps. So. I think the Have Good Sex might be something that I'd point out. This was just an opportunity to put out a social media that was kind of destigmatizing of sexual activity and at the same time kind of connecting it to, I don't want to say online testing, but the opportunity to get your results or a sample testing kits mailed to your home, and then you could actually get screened. This was particularly helpful during the pandemic when people were needing testing and clinical services were not open or extremely impacted. Next slide. And then also what we wanted to do is make sure that we had, we put out various small grants for $50,000 with these community-based organizations to help kind of seed the opportunity for smaller agencies to start kind of getting their sea legs with providing services, and at the same time, a grass levels approach to hearing what was happening with these various CBOs. And since Hannah's been out, I've been charged with supporting these efforts. And it's been very interesting to work with such small organizations doing really highly impactful work. For example, the GM Consulting Group, I just had a conversation with them this morning with regards to they are funding 13 promotoras in the mission to do HIV, Hep C, and STI prevention activities and kind of getting the word out with regards to sexual health and things along those lines. They are planning on being at Carnival and doing outreach and kind of put in a request that I for promotional materials. And so I offered them some of our healthy penises. I'm assuming people have seen these for the outreach efforts. And so they're going to come by and pick up 300 of those so they could kind of do a raffle table and make sure that they're kind of pushing out the messaging around the very latest prevention activities that are happening within the mission. So it's exciting. Next slide. And this, some of the larger kind of infrastructure interventions, specifically, I think the one with regards to funding a jail health position to make sure that people who are within incarcerated settings have access to the various screenings as well is kind of something that we wanted to do. And then obviously ambulatory care and wound care for individuals who are out on the street. And then some community agencies as well that are kind of participating in various mental health activities. Next slide. And a steering committee. So once a month, we are meeting with a body of folks who are kind of providing feedback on how we're doing with the ETE funding efforts and just kind of getting input with regards to which directions we need to go and doing that larger kind of coordination of the system as a whole so we all understand what's happening from that kind of higher level perspective. Next slide. There is also a leadership meeting that happens as well. So there's, if you think about it from a, there's a higher level kind of coordination component, there's a steering committee that kind of helps us give direct input with regards to the services and the gaps that are being filled. And then there's that kind of lower level with regards to the $50,000 grants that are happening kind of street level and promotional of the efforts. So ETE basically has three different levels of kind of input and community process that's happening for us. Next slide. It's just a visual of kind of all of the stuff that's coming together with regards to the de-siloing of services around HIV, Hep C, and STI efforts. The last slide. Any questions? Bill, did I miss anything there?
No, I think you covered it. I mean, you guys will notice a little bit, I'm presenting a few prevention related things and Thomas is presenting a care related thing. I hope that that's just clear. We did that more for flow, but we could swap it around. If, I mean, that'd be one thing I'd be interested to know if you guys, that would be helpful for you all.
Does anybody have any questions for either of them? I like the way the presentation was as is.
Specifically, Chuck, just you mean with the order and the fact that...
Yeah, the order and they're all clear and concise, so that's good.
Okay. Kevin or not, anything you would...
I thought the order was fine. I think it's the first time I saw the last presentation. It's just, it's a lot of information. So I think it's going to take me some time to take it all in because I don't work in SF. So it's, yeah, it's a lot.
Good to know. I'll try to go slower when we actually do it for the council meeting and give a little bit more detail on each of those. Oh, I love cats, Chip. cool.
All right, great. Then if there's no other questions, we'll say thanks to Bill and Thomas.
Kevin demuted. So Kevin, did you have any thoughts?
No,
I'm here.
Oh, I am here by phone.
Okay.
I did see, I get a preview of Bill's presentation, which I of course think was just brilliant. And I'd like Thomas's. So no, I think they're very good.
Great, thank you. Good to hear your voice, by the way.
Thank you.
I know, been a while.
You too, you all are great to return to.
Okay, if there's no other questions, then we'll end there and we'll move on to aging with PLWH. Chip's on.
Oh, wait, sorry, this is, my apologies, one second.
Okay.
I'm gonna stop sharing and track down the correct presentation. Was that, yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is the presentation, correct, Chip?
I think so. This is an older version. There's been some...
Let me double check that I don't have a slightly newer.
I sent one out like either Friday, I think, tomorrow.
One sec. Let me see if I have a slightly newer version.
The version 6 would be the in the title.
You have 6 versions, Chip, or did you just make that up?
Just the process of forming it.
Just wanted us to know you worked hard, right? So you.
Well, I worked. Well, it's essentially the same, but there's a few additions that I can just describe, and the what we'll be viewing at the full council meeting will be a little bit different than this, but this is essentially it.
Let's try this one. This is the newest version.
Okay.
That I have.
This is probably it.
Okay.
So let me just preface this by saying that this deck we're looking at, I gave a presentation to another group. And so it's tailored to people who are not necessarily in the HIV care field, but more specifically for seniors. So when I talk to when I present to the council, I will of course take this slide out. I don't think that there's a need for basic terminology with the HIV Council. And there's a couple more slides that will be removed, and we'll come across those as we proceed. So let's go on to the next slide. And I have a few introductory slides here about here's the mission and vision of getting to zero. I didn't know how much turnover there's been and how frequently getting to zero comes up at council meetings. So I was thinking that a little bit of a review of who we are and what we've done might be in order. So the next slide just looks at the collective impact model of how we operate. The next slide. This is our current committee structure. Next slide. And this is, this graph shows where, it shows the total number of people with HIV, the number of deaths, for the last 15 or so years. And then the red arrow is when getting to zero came along, and the downward sloping line is the new HIV infections in San Francisco. So we're down to 131 last year, well, 2020. And the sobering statistic about this though is that more than half are now among people of color, and that's new.
Mm.
Okay, next slide. Okay, this is the HIV and Aging Committee that I'm representing. And we want to bring attention to and address the needs of long-term survivors. And knowing that we're standing on the shoulders of hundreds of other people who've come before us and just hoping to take it to the next level. Next slide. Okay, this is a case history. You can just kind of go through these next 4 slides. It's a composite of an older man with HIV, and it just talks about different challenges that he has. And you can keep going. And one more time. So here's some stats for people over 50. 71% are over 50, 29% over 65. And another interesting fact about the new infections is that now 1/5 are of people over the age of 50. Which is quite a bit, and it's been increasing the proportion, even though the total number of cases is going down. Okay, next slide. We know that people who are over 50 have more likely to have an undetectable viral load. They have a significant burden of medical comorbidities, stigma, isolation, mental health challenges. Next slide. Here we just see, this is just showing practical and emotional support, and 72% of respondents said they needed more emotional support, which is almost heartbreaking. to me. Okay, so we had breakout groups in the presentation yesterday. We won't have them with the council, of course. So we can move on to here. These are barriers to services that people, older people with HIV cite. And you can see that a lot of it, especially in the green rectangle there, a lot of it is due to not knowing what services are available or where they are, or thinking that they're not accessible, or, you know, kind of lack of information more than anything. Next slide. So this is our focus for the HIV and aging will be mental health first. We're looking at the impact of racism and trauma, PTSD, disparities, existing services and service providers. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. I just think there are resources out there that aren't being accessed by older folks. So there's the second breakout group. You can go on to the next slide. And this is our roadmap ahead. We're going to help identify and fill gaps, education and awareness campaigns, some advocacy, data analysis, and then we're also looking for folks to come join us on our committee. So that's it. So the breakout slides and HIV terminology slides will be removed. Otherwise, it's pretty much intact. Thank you, Dave.
And any questions for Chip?
So Chip, thank you for that. So trying to think of like a formulated, like what's your ideal, what would you like people to walk out of this with? Do you want them to just kind of have some awareness of the epidemic and that it's impacting people who are older or some of the struggles, or?
It's more like it's an update about what Getting to Zero is doing in this field. I know the council has been active in HIV and aging issues before, and there's been a lot of money allocated, but services are not keeping pace with demand. So awareness of the importance of mental health, that it's a huge need that's not being filled. And then also to get maybe a couple council members to join our committee and help us do outreach and awareness.
Okay. I see Bill's hand, so let's do that. And I have another thought.
Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Chip, it's wonderful to see you and see you looking good.
Thank you, great. Bill. Nice to see you too.
Yeah, I'm sure Dean wishes he was in the room now.
I know, I do too.
So agree, good presentation, maybe a couple of suggestions. One is the slide, I think it's 16, where you talk about barriers to service. Maybe just say a little more about the study, who was studied, and what do those percentages mean? Does that mean out of 100 people, 47% said no? Just a couple more sentences, which I'm assuming you'll do. And also maybe just to distinguish when you use the epi data, that's the whole city versus the safety net, which is what the planning council has purview over. So just to say, these numbers might be slightly different when we look at the Ryan White eligible population.
Okay, so can I just give more context to the data that I'm giving?
Just share that we're looking citywide with this data, and of course you guys do the safety net or Ryan White eligible. And the one thought I have is you guys do such amazing committee work, maybe a slide just on what the committees you have are and what they're doing, like Rapid Start and that stuff.
Yeah, I would go over that in more detail if during the presentation. I mean, this was just a kind of a glance over.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, I would talk about each of those four committees and also the other advocacy work we're doing in housing and overdose prevention and youth. And yeah, so I would spend a lot more time on that slide.
Excellent. Those are my thoughts.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Any other questions, thoughts?
not specifically during the presentation. So if we're done with the presentation, I'd love to ask Chip a related but unrelated question. Or
go ahead.
Okay.
So Chip, I'm sitting on the state CPG. So, and specifically on that, I'm on the aging and HIV group. And so, and they are looking at this issue of kind of red tape and aging and kind of the need for people who are trying to access healthcare as they're older, and what are the more common experiences of hitting a bureaucratic kind of snafu. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, and yeah. what we're going to do is we're going to basically kind of survey folks and asking them what their most common snafu is, or what something is, some kind of bureaucratic thing. And then once we kind of have an idea of what that is, we want to propose a solution to those snafus. So does that kind of resonate with you, by the way?
Well, yes, I think that sometimes it's red tape, sometimes it's complicated procedures to be eligible for services. I'm of the mind, Thomas, that someone should have to ask for mental health services exactly one time, not repeated, not have to come back for this intake and a second intake and then sit on a waiting list for 6 months. It's so hard to pick up that phone and ask for help. It should be immediate and let the billing and all that kind of come afterwards, you know, just get people help.
Okay. So, that sounds great. I feel like if anything too, that red tape kind of impacts the mental health because then they're stressed by trying to access their own healthcare and it gets worse. So yeah. All right, cool.
Okay, any other questions or not? Thanks, Chip. It's really good seeing you and very glad you came.
Thank you.
So I guess we're moving right along. The next meeting date will be June the 14th. So I guess it's 3 to 4:30 p.m. So I guess we'll see everybody then. Everybody have a great day, all right?
Thank you.
Good to hear from you, Kevin.
Thanks. Good to see you, Chip.
Thank you. Good to see you guys.
Yep. All right. Bye, everyone.
I got a quick question, David.
Yeah.
Are you okay with David or Dave?
Honestly, either is fine.
Okay. Because I don't know. I've always called you Dave. I don't know why. So I just want to make sure that's all right.
No, that's absolutely fine. I think that's because Mark always calls me Dave because I've known Mark for like 25 years.
Okay.
And so he just introduces me as that. So I've just learned to live with it. But honestly, either way is fine with me. But thanks
okay,
for asking.
Okay. I just wanted to, as you can tell, I have trouble with names. Yeah. So.
No worries. David, can I hang on to you for a second?
Sure.
All right. See you, Chuck. Kevin, I don't know if you're still there, but how's it going?
Fine.
Good. I wanted to follow up on the last council meeting with regards to Ken. And I see how you were doing around that and apologize to you for not stepping in and mediating some of the energy that was happening there.
Oh, you mean it's steering last month?
Full council. Wasn't it full council that the issue was raised?
I believe it was steering where Ken did not respond well to the announcement that I was going to be taking over the director position. Is that what you're talking about?
You know, to tell you the truth, so the feedback that I got, and I thought it was full council, but it could have been steering, there's so many meetings, is when Ken basically said, you know, I'm pretty sure it was full council, that you were not flexible or something, and was saying that to Mark, and you were right next to Mark.
That was steering.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, that I think just goes back to history I have with Ken. But I mean, this goes back to, pre-merge. I believe what he referred to me as was directive, not inflexible. And I think from his perspective, I guess I can understand that. As far as I'm concerned, my role here is generally not to be directive, and I do my best to make sure that council members always understand that they have all of the agency that the law allows in this situation. Though there are times in which, specifically with Ken, I've had to sort of step in during conversations, specifically conversations that hadn't been agendized, that wanted to sort of engage in substantive conversation on topics that hadn't been agendized, and I've had to sort of stop him from sort of continuing the thread of something that is sort of tangential to something we were talking about, but not actually on the agenda, which he felt was, you know, directive. I think that maybe more what he's picking up is that Mark and I just have different styles. And also, you know, Mark has been attached to the council for 20 years almost.
Yeah.
Maybe not 20 years, but quite a while. If it's not 20 years, it's coming up on 20 years. And he's a known quantity. I am sort of outside of that. I'm also outside of the traditional community that a lot of HIV advocacy and services are based around as a, you know, cisgender straight man. And I recognize that. And so I also recognize that there are people who have, you know, and you're also not going to get along with everyone, as you well know. And so it doesn't mean I can't do my job, and it doesn't mean that I don't have, you know, the ability to do it, and I can live with it. And Ken and I, we've had one-on-one conversations in the past to sort of work through interpersonal challenges. And I imagine we'll have some in the future.
Okay. No worries. I just wanted to, Mark gave me the feedback that I should have stepped in sooner during that, or at least done some kind of follow-up. And I was completely oblivious to the, I was more in my head of like, does council have the opportunity to interview the candidates for the position? Because I've never heard of that before. And so I was trying to think through that logistic and not really paying attention to what was being said. And so in that space as a facilitator, I should have done more to shut that down. And so I just want to make sure that I apologize to you for that kind of absence of my role there.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not taking it personally. I think that, you know, for whatever reason, Ken feels very much empowered to level personal criticism in my direction in a way that maybe he wouldn't towards some other folks.
That's not appropriate though. So that's what I should have shut down. So
sure. But my point is that you maybe were less sensitive to it because you were unaware of the history. And maybe you didn't necessarily recognize the sort of enmity, personal enmity for what it was initially. That's all.
Yeah. I actually thought the opposite. It's funny how I was like, at least to talk that way all the time. Like, what? This is just family in my mind.
Sure. I mean, we have known each other for, you know, a decade. But you know, relationships are what they are. I'm not holding you accountable for that. I appreciate the apology though.
Okay. And I appreciate, if nothing else, I just, when it happens between two people who know each other, then other people see that, then it kind of gives the green light to speak to each other that way. And I'm like, that's the part that I don't want to foster or, what's the word when you go along with something by within it, inaction?
I know what you mean. Not coming to me immediately, but I
hear compliant in it or whatever.
Sure.
Blatant in it or whatever. Cool. All right. I appreciate that. And good luck with the new role. I don't have any doubt in your ability to do it. So, yeah,
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you've been in enough meetings, and I think your work that you're doing in the East Bay as well, like, this should be like shouldn't be stressful for you to transition into the space. So whatever I can do, just let me know.
Yeah, I mean, eventually, presumably Mark will hand over some of those responsibilities to me. I think that he's been doing it for so long that he feels like he's having to surrender one of his children, but we'll work it out. I think that's a me and Mark thing.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Muddling the water will not help, or muddying the water. So I agree. Cool. All right. Be well, and I'll see you at the next meeting. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.